Welcome to the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast, where our goal is to help you increase your reputation as a leader, increase your ability to influence others, and increase your ability to fully engage your team to deliver remarkable results. Hi, I'm Perry Holly, a John Maxwell facilitator and coach.
And I'm Chris Cody, Vice President of John Maxwell Company. Welcome and thank you for joining. As a reminder, if you would like to learn more about the five levels of leadership or perhaps bring a five levels private training to your organization, please visit johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. And while there, if you have a comment or a question for Perry and I, please feel free to leave that as well. We'd love to hear from you. Well, today's topic is titled The Approachable Leader. Now, in the past, we've had other podcasts, and I know we have one that is the teachable leader. Today, it's the approachable leader, engagement on steroids. And I love having the word engagement in there. It's a buzzword out in corporate and cultures, and how do I get my team more engaged? So how does being approachable affect the engagement level of our team?
Yeah, so this is a favorite teaching of mine for leaders who really want to increase effectiveness, increase employee engagement on their teams. And it's really evident, I find, in the five levels of leadership, as most things are. But level one position is that I'm the boss and you're not. People follow because they have to. And then level two, permission, where you build relationships and people follow because they want to. So I'm finding that if you have a big title, people may naturally put a distance between themselves and you. And being approachable sends a message that you value others, that if your role creates a distance, real or perceived, you want to close that distance. You're still the boss. You still got responsibility, but you want to be approachable to people, that they're not intimidated by you. They don't shy away from you. They don't hold back from you, that they feel like they can talk to you. And so you're like a real person, authentic leadership.
Yeah, and it's just a natural reaction. And I see this a lot with organizations as they're growing, to where they still want that small feel, but yet they're growing at a pace where it's really hard for them to continue to have that kind of everybody knows each other, what that looks like. So the larger the organization gets, the harder this really is to live out. And I think as a leader, the higher you go in the organization, it is a problem. And you need to be aware of it. And it may not be a problem because of your actions, right? It may just be an assumption, or how other leaders or other team members were brought up in other organizations, and you know the leaders didn't talk to everybody on the floor and what that looks like. But a lot of times they come from places where titles, they drove hierarchy, and oh, he or she is at this level, and you don't talk to them. Right. So let's talk about some things that we can do to offset that. And even challenge the hierarchy that is represented and is prevalent around all organizations, especially the larger they get.
Well, this may sound funny, but I'm finding that the number one thing, it sounds simple, it's overlooked by many high-level leaders, is to smile more. Somebody made a comment to me that said, "You seem so serious.
Yeah.
Why don't you smile more?" And I said, "I smile all the time." "No, you don't. You're acting serious." And that could be because things are serious. It could be because I think I'm more serious than I need to be. I think I'm very important and I need to look serious. I don't know what the reason was. But I was walking through the airport one day and I noticed almost 100% of the people coming at me going the other direction looked like they were going to the guillotine or something. They were going to walk into the death march. I couldn't figure out, wow, it really is. People look so serious. So I just started smiling at people, smiling at the command, just smiling. If somebody looked at me, I would say, "Good to see you. Welcome. Hello."
Act like you were a Delta Redcoat at Hartsfield.
I just started smiling. And you know what happens when you smile at people?
They smile right
back. They smile back, except TSA agents which started following me, people smile back. It just says, "Oh, I'm sorry," and you just kind of get into a zone. So around the office, you're the titled leader, you're the boss, no matter if you're one level, two level, three levels above someone, and you walk through with your head down, looking at your phone, not smiling, not looking up, not engaged. What if that sends me a message that I'm not approachable?
Yeah.
And stay away. I'm very serious. And I think, yeah, you're still very serious, but when you're out with the team, smile.
Yeah. And I think this is going to become a problem more and more the longer we go, in time with organizations and people because of how we are so focused on our devices, right? And we're focused, we're not even looking at people, and we're not even smiling. It's something I even talk to my kids about. There's a term called RBF, right? And so if you want to learn more about that, you could email me. But a lot of people call it this kind of just, you know, just resting grumpy face is what I'll call it, right? And they don't want to approach you. Oh, they cool. don't want to smile at yeah. you. And they just go, man, something's wrong with him or something's wrong with her, to your point. Like, yeah. now listen, I probably have been guilty of being in Hartsfield before and not smiling. And so if I was one of those passengers, I apologize for doing that. But if you do that, if you engage them, they're going to smile back. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be like, wow, like, you know, who's that dude? Like, and maybe even connect with you. So I know it sounds simple, but we all have a problem doing it. Listen, it's intentional. It sends a message of approachability. And it says, I don't take myself or my title when you're walking around your organization too seriously. And it just opens the door for conversation. You become more approachable, and they want to share that with you. So, but listen, in addition, a bonus on top of smiling. All right,
a bonus. All right.
Is if you'll make eye contact, it's even better.
Great ad. Eye contact is beautiful. Actually, a person at a Five Levels workshop recently told me, we were talking about being approachable and being authentic leadership and that sort of thing, and she said that the leaders of their organization get in the elevator at the company, they don't even look up. You're riding in an elevator. You're in a trapped, contained situation with your most important resources. If I ask you, what's your most important assets? It's our people.
Yeah, right.
And then you don't even look up at me. So do you think that helped her level of engagement or hurt it?
Right.
I think it probably hurt it.
Yeah.
Judging from the fact that she repeated it to the entire group of people and we knew what company it was from, it made a problem. Another behavior of highly approachable leaders, and I just call this emotional consistency.
That's good.
And consistency in leadership is one of my favorite words. But by that I mean you don't display your emotions. You kind of delay your emotions. You're consistent. People can trust how you're going to respond in good times and in bad times. That you're trustworthy in how you handle. You're not going to blast all over me. But
yeah.
You may not be over exuberant, but you're not going to be overly abusive either.
I think consistency is an attribute about a leader that we don't talk enough about. And I think the more consistent you can be, especially with the emotional side of things, no doubt about it, the more approachable you are, right? We've all worked for leaders in the past where we go, yep, not going into that office today, mm-hmm. or not going to talk to him or her today. I don't know if it was you that shared the story on a previous podcast.
Going red and green? Are you going with the
coffee cup? Yeah, we talked about the most influential, in my mind, individual that in an organization was this team member, executive assistant, that every day, depending on
the
emotionally
mood.
Where that C-suite individual was, they put a certain color coffee mug up and the team knew whether they were to come in.
Red cup, go away. Green cup, show
maybe
up.
Maybe not that obvious, right? He'd probably catch on to that depending on the day he was having. But yeah, man, I think the more consistent we can be, the more approachable that your team will be. Mm-hmm. If they're hesitant, you're missing out on an opportunity. And so consistency will help you with that. Here's another one from a leader. And I am horrible at this. Like, my wife calls me out on this all the time, and I have nicknames for everybody. This is so tough. And it gets harder, I think, the larger the organization gets and the more people that you have influence with. But, man, you got to learn their names. People say all the time, the greatest sound people hear mm-hmm. is their own names. So talk to us a little bit about learning names and the power of that.
Well, that's Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People, was the best sound to anybody is the sound of their name.
Yeah,
and that
yeah.
you do a great, you honor them and you actually say that that makes me feel important when you remember my name.
Yep.
So if you're not good at remembering names in your organization, you need to find a way to do that. I started by writing them down, figuring out who's sitting someplace I can maybe remember by how I'm
That's
making
good.
My way around the office. Get somebody to help me to do that. Being open and being approachable starts with really recognizing them as real people, being authentic and knowing their name. So if you're smiling, you've got good eye contact, and you can
call
remember
their name,
all of a sudden you think people are being more engaged or less engaged when they're feeling this stuff. So
yeah.
that's why I say it's really on steroids there. Speaking of being open, what do you think about leaders being more open about their life to show that they're normal people?
How much
do you share? How much do you not?
Here's what I want you to think about. As you were beginning your journey, no matter where you're at right now, we all started somewhere. What was your perception of maybe the most senior leader on your team? And is that one that you want to emulate, or is that something you want to stay away from? And what was it about them? Because I promise you, if it is one that you want to lead like, and you think about them as one of the greatest leaders you ever worked for or a great leader, I promise you that they were very transparent with you. All of us put our pants on the same way, and we get up, we go to work, we lead people, we solve problems, we're doing all this, and yet some of us aren't authentic with our team members. And I think if you're not authentic with them, goes back to that Harvard Business Review study, right? They studied, I think, 250 of the top CEOs around the world, and they said, what are the attributes about that leader, that those leaders that make them great, or whatever their reasons were for selecting the top 250? And 2-1, the number one attribute was authenticity. So as we think about this model, as we think about the five levels of leadership, and we begin to talk about levels of influence, and you're moving up the hierarchy chain, what I don't want you to do is change who you are. I just want to give you some guardrails. I want to give you some things that we're going to watch for, some things you can be doing, some tools, some competencies to improve. But man, if you can just stay authentic, share personal stories, including your failures, it'll be an immediate connection with your people. And that's what we're trying to do. Because at level two, we are setting the foundation to connect with our people. John calls it building relationships with people. And so there's lots of ways that we can connect. And one of them is just being authentic and transparent, and even sharing some of your failures.
Right. No, I love that. And often just sharing stories. I think stories are great. They bridge between you and someone else. It kind of takes down these walls, if they're real or imagined, between your level in the organization and theirs. It kind of speaks to another word in leadership right now about being vulnerability. Mm. And, we don't want to overshare. You don't want to put your
sure.
dirty laundry out there. But you can share your victories, your struggles, ask people. I love telling a story and then moving that into a question about you. I'll tell you a story about something I was struggling with. How did you deal with that, Chris?
Yeah.
And get you talking. And now I can make a connection between me and you. I speak in Europe a lot, and somebody said, you're not like most Americans. I said, what is that, good or bad?
I could have told them that.
Yeah, but they said that a lot of people come and tell us, do it the way I did it, because that's the right way. You'll be good if you just do what I did. And you come in and you say, here's what I did. It didn't work so well. This is what I learned from it. What do you think? Could you do it this way? And they said, we just love that. And so you connect better with an audience, one or many, by sharing, here's my strengths and struggles. What do you think? And get them to share their strengths and struggles. Now we're making a connection, and I builds that authenticity into me, and maybe a little bit of vulnerability that I may not, as we said on other podcasts, I may not know all the answers.
That's
Guess
right.
what? I don't know all the answers.
That's right.
What do you know that could help me, and what do I know that could help you? So by telling stories, making it a little personal sometimes about where I am can help with that.
I think it's great.
Another way I found to be more approachable and especially in these digitally charged times that we're in, is be present. I call this be here now. I have a little sign on my desk, be here now, to be present. And that's about undivided attention, especially when all these devices, you mentioned that a little earlier, but I wonder what your thoughts are on how do we overcome these devices and all the distractions that are there today.
Yeah, and I want to start by saying it's something that you and I we're talking about, but we can continually improve on. So some thoughts and some ideas that we're talking about with technology and looking at it and being approachable, I still struggle with it. And I know that when you have this device, this we'll call it iPhone, and you have access to all your emails and your text, and then you add social media on top of that, like we literally, if you think about it, whenever we have a down minute, a down thought, or we kind of just check out for a minute, what's the first thing we do? We pick up our phone and check on it. And so I think what you need to be aware of, especially in your leadership journey, that you need to make sure that you're not on devices when you're around people. I shared the story of an organization, it's a good friend of ours down in Texas, and their chief financial officer, okay? Mm-hmm. Whenever you walk into his office, it doesn't matter if his door's open, you walk into his office, doesn't matter what he's working on, whatever's going on, he shuts his laptop and stands up and comes over and has a conversation with his adult, leaves his phone on his desk and shuts his laptop. I was like, every single person? And no, it doesn't matter. As soon as you walk in his office, if doors open, you're allowed to walk in. And then he shuts it, gets up, and you have their full attention. Mm-hmm. And so they know that when his door's open, he's extremely approachable. Mm-hmm. And it's a challenge for us because we rely so much on our devices. And I think it's something that we all need to continue to work on. Well, listen, speaking of stories in the past, I've heard you tell a story in one of our Five Levels workshops recently about being bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. Share that with our listeners today.
Well, that's one of the being an approachable leader to me is a lesson that I heard years ago, but about, are you bigger on the inside as a human than you are on the outside as a leader? Are you bigger than your title as a person? Mm. And that people know that. If you're all bigger on the outside, then I'm just the vice president of such and such versus I'm a small person. And I use my title as kind of a weapon. And it became so clear to me a couple of years ago. Well, it was actually many years ago when it happened, but when I was a teenager, I collected autographs on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Whoever's on the cover, I want it signed. I don't want you to sign a napkin or a piece of paper. I want the cover of Sports Illustrated signed by whoever's on it. Just as a silly hobby. But it turned into 200-plus signed copies of some of the biggest sports names that in my life. But one of the ones I did not get was Muhammad Ali. And I was sitting at my first job now out of college. I hadn't been doing autographs for quite a few years. I'm just looking at the sports page. Muhammad Ali was in town the night before giving a speech. And I thought, man, I'd love to have that autograph because he was on more Sports Illustrated at that time than anybody else.
Wow.
I think he was surpassed by Michael Jordan. But 28 copies or 28 covers, something like that. And so I just picked up the phone, brash salesman that I was, picked up the phone, and I called the hotel, and I said, is Muhammad Ali registered there? And they said, yes, would you like me to ring his room? I said, well, absolutely. And not sure what I'm doing. But the phone rings twice, and he answered the phone. You could tell. I said, Mr. Ali, I'm Perry. I'm from nearby and a big fan of yours and would love to meet you and get to sign this magazine. And he said, well, kind of engaged in a conversation, and he asked me where I was and kind of how soon could I get there, and that he would be glad to see me if it worked out, because he was going to a press conference, but he'd be back at 3. And so I packed my desk, and everybody's saying, you're joking. I said, shut up, I'm talking to the champ. And I rushed there, got my magazines, and went to the hotel, and through a series of getting through the finding him and letting him know who I was, he invited me into his room. There was a couple of managers and some other people there, but he not only signed my magazine, but he actually turned the pages and talked about the fight, signed a couple on the inside of the magazine. It was 12 minutes out of my whole life, but when I walked away, I said, this is a person. I've told this story on 48 different countries. Not one person anywhere has not known that name. On the outside, he was bigger than life. And what I learned, I wrote this article, it's on my website, about when he passed a couple of years ago. I wrote this down because I said, as big as he was on the outside, as a man, as a titled person, a well-known celebrity, he was even bigger on the inside as a human being. And he could have squashed me a bug. He could have flipped me away, hung up the phone, yelled at me. He could have done a lot of things to make me small, but he gave me 12 minutes that I absolutely didn't deserve, but he was bigger on the inside as a man than he was on the outside as a champion boxer. And every time I'm somewhere, no matter how important somebody thinks I am coming off a stage or coming out of the corner office, always be bigger on the inside as a human and give people your time. It really meant a lot to me.
I don't know how to top that as we kind of wrap up today. I think it's a phenomenal story. And as you think about what you look like on the inside, what is that? And I think there's got to be consistency. And I think there's got to be this aura that you present of being approachable and that other people are important. And so I would just challenge you as we kind of wrap up here today, I would just challenge you to really kind of self-reflect and take some time thinking through what does it look like? Again, I've said this before, to be on the other side of my leadership. Mm. If you have an inner circle and you can get some candid feedback, ask that question to them. But I think that story is a great way to kind of wrap up and end our time together today.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Chris, and thank you all for joining. We're always grateful that you listen along. Just a reminder, if you want more information about the five levels of leadership or want to leave us a question or engage with us in any way, you can do that at johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. Thank you very much for joining. This is the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast.